So the passage is Matthew 13, verse 47 to 52. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew up onto the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it'll be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out his treasures, things new and old.
Wonderful. Ethan and Sean Paul, why don't you come up as well? I'll pray for you. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I pray for these two that you would speak through them, Lord, that you speak your word and that you will help us to grow and help us to really see you, Lord. And yeah, pray for these two that you'll be able to speak through them. Pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. So, I'm Ethan and this is Sean. And we're part of the Ignite Youth at Forest Hill. So I'm going to start off, and then later on I will hand over to Sean. So we just heard the passage, and I have to say, at first, when I was told this is what I'd be preaching on, I felt a little bit overwhelmed. I thought to myself, there's some pretty heavy stuff in here. At the same time, I felt challenged. When reading this, I thought, what is the main point of it? What is Jesus telling us? So he talks about good fish and bad fish. He mentions the angels coming forth and taking out the wicked from among the righteous and being thrown into the furnace of fire. I know for sure that I don't want that to be me. I want him to be in the kingdom of heaven. So how do I know if I'm a good fish or a bad fish? And what does it mean to be a good fish? So to kind of start off, I'd like everyone to get into pairs and just for a few minutes talk among yourselves and ask each other, what does it mean to be good? What do you think being good is? That's great. Is there anyone that would like to... Cool. Is there anyone that would like to feedback? Shirley?
Well, Bruce was very helpful because he said, I like fish. So what makes a good fish? What makes something good? And I said, being fresh. So I think to be good is that you need to be in a fresh place. And if you're a Christian, that obviously means to be in a place where you're going back to God, being renewed, so that things in your life that aren't good, then when you see Jesus and you reach out to him, then that goodness of his life can come into our lives.
Great, thank you. Anyone else?
My grandfather used to be a captain on a fish boat, and he usually tells me that, for example, if they went to catch tuna, they would know where the tuna is. They would go there, throw the net, and then when they get all the fish into the boat, they would get the tuna, and then if it's not tuna, give it back on the sea, because that's not what we're catching. That's not what we're going for. So I was telling her that, how do we know if we are the good fish? Is the fisher who is telling this is good fish, this is not good fish? So maybe it's not up for us to say if we are good or bad. Is we need to ask the fisher, why are you fishing for? Because I want to be the good fish and stay on the boat.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I feel like in 2019, there's still so many things that we don't know. And you know, when we want to go to find something out, where do we look? Where's the first place we look? Google, exactly. So I thought, what does Google say about being good? What's the first things that come up? So all I wrote was into Google, what does it mean to be good? So things that came up were to be desired or approved of, having the required qualities of a high standard, that which is morally right, righteousness, benefit or advantage to someone or something. These things were interesting because I found them to be similar to some of the things that the world considers good. They relate quite closely. I find that the way the world judges goodness relates to things that we have on the outside, our external properties. Things like the way we look, the clothes we wear, the places we go, what type of friends we have, what type of job we have. I find that people my age can really struggle with their identity. So we turn to Facebook, we like social media like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. And I must say, even I've fallen into this trend at times. I see compliments that people get on the posts, and sometimes I feel jealous. And this jealous feeling that we can have is bad. You know, it's not healthy. It makes us think of things that we don't have, all the things, you know, we look at our lives and we say, oh, I want this, and look at all this stuff that I don't have. You know, I wish I had this stuff. But we do that, and it takes us away from looking at all the amazing things that the Lord has blessed us with in our lives. And also, ultimately, it has an impact on our goodness and our relationship with God. The world also judges how good we are based on the types of friends we have. But are these friends corrupting us? Are they corrupting our character? Or are they helping us to live righteously? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." At college, I've been working on a music video. And for the music video, I chose the song "The Shape of My Heart" by Sting. It's about a gambler who he gambles not to win money, not for respect, but he's trying to find out who he is. So whilst preparing this preach, the title of that song brought up the question, what is the shape of a good person's heart? Is it the way we look? Is it giving to charity? Is it doing good deeds? So yeah, I'd say those things are some of the things that the world considers good to be pretty good things. We need to ask ourselves, what does God think? What does God say about what makes a person good? In Romans 6:11, it says, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Ultimately, if we want to please God and love people and be like Jesus, we will have good hearts because we are in a relationship with Him. In Matthew 12, verse 35, it says, "The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good." I found that good treasure means to be good things that are saved in our hearts. So we must guard our hearts, seek the truth, and in particular, seek after Jesus. Thank you. Sean Paul.
Hey, everyone. I'm using the slides. So this is the scripture, story of fishing net. I'm focusing on the bad part, bad fish. Next. What does this mean to us? Fishermen represent the original disciples, but it also represents us now. All of us disciples of Jesus Christ have a part to play in gathering fish. In Matthew 4:18, 18 to 20, it says, if you want to read it, I didn't put on there. When you do read it, I've got one question that you could think about. How many people have you spoken to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Next slide, please, Leslie. The fish represent all of those in church and outside, good and bad. In the church, there are some people that are very sincere and others who are just hypocrites. For a couple of minutes, I want you to discuss in groups, what's the meaning of bad for you? Okay, church. Anybody have any answers for me?
We said about being self-centered and just looking out for your own gain and trying to just get things from people and not really kind of thinking about the consequences of actually that effect on other people and just really not following Jesus and just really delving into your own desires.
I was just reminded of a verse in James, which I've managed just to find, that had a big impact on me at one stage in my life, and so that it's always comes to mind easily. And thinking about what is bad, I know for me, as a committed Christian, it's when I go my own way, similar to what Jane was saying. And the verse in James is chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. To me, that's being bad, when I know what the right thing is to do, but I fail to do it because it's easier to do something else or feel sorry for myself or whatever. But that's sin for me because I do know the good and right way. Thanks.
Anybody else?
Anything that's bad is anything that adversely affects your mind, your spirit and your body.
So, Google. Magical world. There's four things that I've mainly found. Low quality. So, we could say furniture is low quality. We could count that as bad. Evil. That's a very common word that you see in the Bible about being bad. Painful, when someone's in pain, or maybe you're thinking it. And decayed, skeletons. What does the world think? There are many different ways to see bad. One way that is commonly used today for that, let me just say it. I'm getting McDonald's. This dude's bad. That has two meanings for it. One, it's bad for you. It's unhealthy. Two, it's so bad that it's good. What does the Bible say? There's no exact explanation in the Bible, but there's always references to evil. One I got is 1 Corinthians 15:33-35. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Some of the things I got were people who tell you to do something one way but don't do it themselves. That's kind of hypocritical. Just because we come to church doesn't mean we are saved. What is our life like during the week when we are not in church? Because some people change when they're in church and act differently when they're with their friends outside. Do we do things in secret that we don't want others to know? Everybody's done this at one point. Fishermen taking out the bad fish. The bad fish are normally taken out to kind of get all the good fish and get the most out of the money that you get for fishing. This could also be interpreted as humans, like friends, bad friends. You get rid of them over time, but good friends you always keep. Bad fish always have faults, but good fish know their faults and try and get rid of them. This, I'm trying to reference it to humans, because we as humans, we all have our faults. Some of us may not know it, but some of us know it and we get rid of them. We have to solve them to become good and better and to try and take care of ourselves. So what do we need to do? We need to read the Word of God and abide it. If we don't read it, we will not know how to behave, how to correct our faults. There will be time when Jesus comes back, when we will be separated, the good from the bad. I want to be on the good side. What about you? Leslie? I've also got 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, New International Version. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not realize that Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. Anthony wants to say something.
Yeah, so just to summarize, we're going to start off from where we began. So we're called to be fishers of the kingdom, but at first it's good to check our hearts. That's what the bad fish and the good fish is about. So to be right before the Lord, so we could be more effective in our witnessing. So how do we fish? In modern day fishing, we might need some bait. So what could the bait be? Maybe it could be our testimony, whether it's how we met God, or whether it's what he's done in our lives. We've been sharing some testimonies today. We could share that with others of how God is on the move and how God's love is being poured out and how he loves each and every person. So we might also need the hook. So what could the hook be? Maybe it could be the Word of God. It's what catches people. It's what pierces the heart. It's what speaks to people's innermost being. And the line. So that could be the discipleship afterwards, connecting them directly to God. And then maybe the real as well. So that could be the continuous prayer as well, because you need to keep praying for people. So that's our fishing analogy. So that's how we could be fishermen. But in the old times, they used to use big nets, and they all had to work together to bring in those nets. So we're together for the kingdom. We're fishing together so that actually we could bring in the catch. We're one body in Christ, so let's work together to do this, to bring in the kingdom of God. Each using the gifts that the Lord's given us to use effectively for his kingdom, for the world's sake and for God's glory. We're not called to be judges. Our job is to fish, not to judge. God himself is a good judge. We may think he's harsh because he shows judgment, but actually he is a God of justice, a righteous judge. But he's also our defender too. We see in Jesus that he suffered and died so that we could be free, that we could have life, and that we could have it to the full, and that we could be justified through faith, through Jesus, that we could have right standing with God, to be clothed in Jesus' righteousness. So whether you think you're a good fish or a bad fish, we're clothed with Jesus' righteousness. But Jesus then rose from the grave, and that Holy Spirit that raised him from the grave now lives in us, so that we can live righteously, that we can live as a good fish. So let's check our hearts before the Lord, so that we can live in the freedom to be greater and effective fishermen, or women,
doing it in and through Jesus' strength and equipped by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to hand over to Paul to pray for, Sean Paul to pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of reflection and then a time of prayer.
Lord Jesus, thank you for gathering us here today. Please help us to find our faults so we may know how to improve ourselves. Search our hearts, O Lord, and see if there are any wicked ways in us. I also pray as we do this, we will be able to help each other so that we can all see you in the end. Thank you for having us today. Amen.